And knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-host.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. We have over the next 2 hours a rebroadcast. And the reason why I'm doing this is that the first hour is with Bill Hendon, author of An Enormous Crime. And it's an excellent book on the POWs that were left behind in Vietnam. And then he's joined the second hour by Ted Sampley, who is one of the founders of Rolling Thunder. And they're old friends, and it gets to be a very, very insightful interview these 2 hours. Well, the reason why we're broadcasting and rebroadcasting these 2 hours is that Charlotte and Littlefield and I, we go back a little ways on the POW question. And I go back a number of years and remember when 1992, Captain Eugene Red McDaniel came to Austin at Camp Mabry and spoke. And he set out the reasons why he was there and the campaign and the mission he was on. And I know we signed a happy birthday card to H. Ross Perot. So it was very vivid in my mind what was going on that day at Camp Mabry. Well, he talked about a up-and-coming senatorial committee that's going to blow the lid off of the POW question that was going to be convened that September. They had an ongoing investigation into the POW question about whether or not our government left prisoners of war behind in Vietnam. And they compiled a great deal of data and information. And according to Captain Eugene Red McDaniel, who had been in the Hanoi Hilton as a prisoner of war himself, where John McCain also was being held there in Hanoi, the Hanoi Hilton. Well, he went on to tell us in 1992, I remember it vividly, in August of 1992, that yes, next month, which would meant September of 1992, you know, John Kerry and John McCain, they're two Navy men, they're going to tell us the truth about the POWs that were left there and start a process to bring them home. Well, that committee meeting, was held, and Kissinger was there, and other just scoundrels were testifying. Oh, there was nothing there to this, and there were none left behind, and so forth. And it concluded by sweeping under the carpet the real evidence about the POWs that were left behind. This infuriated Bill Hendon, who was one of the counsels to the committee, and he went out. And not only did he run for Congress and became a congressman for 2 terms, but he also wrote this book, An Enormous Crime. And I'm going to put that up on our site, thesecrettruth.com. So come into our site, thesecrettruth.com, and there'll be all these click-offs on there. You'll be able to go and read excerpts of the book and order that book. Well, this was the first hour that we did was with Bill Hendon. And then the second hour, we continued on with Bill Hendon. We brought Ted Sampley in to conclude that second hour. Ted Sampley is no longer with us. He was a fine man. He was one of the 4 founders of Rolling Thunder. So that gives you a little bit of background. And also, I'm going to put up another couple of clips. They won't be live broadcast like this is tonight on our radio station here in Austin, Texas. But I'll put up a couple of other items also. We're going to be holding a memorial, or we held a memorial, you could say, at the, and I'm going to go ahead and make this on demand so I can say this in the future tense, so to speak. But tomorrow, we're recording this on May 29th, but tomorrow, May 30th, at William B. Travis High School, the high school that I attended, I participated along with others led by Dan Orlano in establishing a memorial for the Vietnam vets and other people that were disabled and died also as a result of contamination and so forth. So we're going to unveil that with some of the family members there. And also there's going to be quite a few personages, local political, you know what I mean, office holders there. I believe that you can go to liveonlocation.tv. So you can go there, and if you miss the live, you can view it there live if you can't attend in person. Or you can come up on Old Tar Street there in Southeast Austin and attend in person. But anyway, we'll be there recording live and streaming live this memorial in tribute to Vietnam vets that gave their lives. What our politicians have done in Washington, D.C. is just so, so unspeakable. And these two men tonight on these 2 hours that we're rebroadcasting, they are so frustrated and so mad about it. A number of years I had occasion to phone up Captain Eugene Red McDaniel. And after he had this experience, actually, let me tell you a little bit about Captain Eugene Red McDaniel. He was released, of course, with most of the POWs, but there was a large number of hundreds that were still left behind. But he did get released. After release, they rehabilitated him, and he went in command of the USS Lexington aircraft carrier. When he retired, he had one of the best safety records ever, and as having commanded the USS Lexington. Then later on, he would start a foundation, and we're going to have all this information about his foundation up there also. But he established a foundation, and his mission was to go out and help bring those POWs home. And so he set up a foundation and worked for years along with the POW families. They also had some other organizations that some of the family members who felt like their loved ones were still alive but being held captive in Vietnam at that time were working to lobby Congress to get them to look at this and to go back and so forth. Well, what actually happened in the long run is that no one ever in Congress, never, even Jimmy Carter, did not take any initiative, and all the presidents since them and Congress together have done nothing to bring those POWs home. Like I was saying earlier, John Kerry could have done something. He did nothing in 1992 sitting on that committee. John McCain could have done something. He did nothing. It's just getting now to where it's an embarrassment for the gang in Washington, D.C. And that's basically what it amounts to, is they don't care a whit about the average American and what they have to do to earn a living and pay rent and support their families and feed their families out here. But tomorrow at William B. Travis High School, that's William Barrett Travis, the commander of the Alamo, is the school named after him. We're going to be there at 10 a.m., so if y'all pick up this on demand tonight or later, you can go in and click on it and listen to this broadcast, and then come out and help support and honor these vets that gave their lives and their all for this country. Charlotte Littlefield and I later, we kept on top of this with interviews with Bill Hendon and with Ted Sampley. I had some separate interviews with Ted Sampley later, but we've kept on this subject and on this topic for years. In 2007, Charlotte Littlefield and I had occasion to go up to Philadelphia and do a live broadcast of a Ron Paul rally there on Independence Mall. That was on a Saturday. On Sunday, we drove down to Washington, D.C., and we hustled our equipment out there and pulled some power off of a local affiliate television station who provided, by the way of their generator, some power for us to do a live on location there broadcast. And I believe that at that time, if We the People Radio Network, Wes Perkins was hooking us up, engineering it, and also he was one of the founders of We the People Radio Network. He was getting us connected in to the Austin station here, and we were live broadcasting all over Austin on Veterans Day 2007. We were right out in front of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, and we were watching the whole scene was very, very respectful. There were many soldiers who had been in Vietnam and so forth that were in their colors, and they were marching together up and down these trails that course through the park there around the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall. So it was very colorful. It was very respectful. We spent 2 hours there in front of the wall interviewing not only veterans that had been in Vietnam and so forth and who had lost friends, but we had widows that came in and so forth and got on the air and told their stories about the loved ones that they lost in Vietnam and what their you know, the disruptions and the tragedy and the grief that they were had to bear since the loss of their loved ones. We did this for 2 hours, and then we finally wrapped it up. We only had a two-hour segment on We the People Radio Network, but we were live on that. I'm going to put those interviews up on www.thesecrettruth.com so you can also hear that. But anyway, come down to Travis, William B. Travis, tomorrow if you can at 10 a.m., and we're going to have taps played, a wreath laying of a wreath there on the memorial. It's a very beautiful granite, gray granite with a red base, and it sort of commemorates the colors of the red and gray for the William B. Travis Rebels, or what they were called. I graduated from there, and Lee Leffingwell, I believe he is an alumnus also. He will be there to speak. He's a former mayor of Austin. The mayor of Austin, Steve Adler, today will be there. The superintendent of schools, the director of the AISD will be there. The Lloyd Doggett, U.S. Senator Lloyd Doggett will speak. And other people, Margaret Gomez, who is one of my classmates, who is Travis County Commissioner, Precinct 4, will be there and so forth. So we're going to have a plethora of good speakers. The man that put this together primarily was Dan Arellano. We want to thank him profusely for what he did. And let me read just a list here. Let me get a list going up here. Like, if you go to liveonlocation.tv, you'll see a list of the there's an agenda there. You can click off on the live stream. It's a Ustream live stream. Okay, here's basically the agenda, and I'll sort of read it off to give you an idea of what's going to go on there tomorrow in honoring these fallen vets in Vietnam and others. The master of ceremonies is Dan Arellano. And then the presentation of colors is Travis High, ROTC. The Pledge of Allegiance is next. National Anthem. The invocation will be given by Abraham Galvan. He's the VFW chaplain, post number 28. There'll be a Native American prayer by Edward Segura. The welcome to William B. Travis, the principal, is Ty Davidson. The AISD superintendent, Dr. Paul Cruz, will speak. The AISD member, Paul Sedania, will speak. The mayor of the city of Austin, Steve Adler, will be there. The former mayor of the city of Austin, Lee Leffingwell. The U.S. Congressman, Lloyd Doggett, will speak. Travis County Commissioner, Precinct 4, Margaret Gomez. The memorial unveiling will be done by some of the families of that who lost their loved ones in Vietnam. There'll be a laying of wreath by the Travis ROTC. There'll be a reading of the names by the Travis ROTC. Taps will be played by Robert Ortiz. The rifle salute will be by Tejanos in Action, and there'll be a mourning ritual by a Native American group to end the ceremony. Well, we want to wish everyone a good evening and to come out and begin to pay their respects to these fallen soldiers. In other news, we're going to get a little news going on the second hour. I'll come up with another 20 minute before we cut this, a lot of the ads out, and gives us about 40 minutes of program. So we have to fill in with about 20 minutes of news and so forth. But getting back to what is happening in the country today, we are in bad shape. We had negative growth the first quarter this year. They thought that we had, you know, the country's economy had expanded. No, it has not expanded. It has done nothing but it contracted, they say. We've got Rand Paul up there that is shaking up the Senate. And I'll tell you what, he's a fine person getting up there trying to resist all of these cronies that walk the halls of Congress and trying to straighten the country up. And I would like to encourage Cornyn and other senators from Texas to get in there and start supporting Rand Paul. Now I'll have to say this about Ted Cruz. He is of the same ilk as Rand Paul. I have a few problems with Ted Cruz and his wife's connection to Goldman Sachs. She's recently temporarily resigned or stepped down. But I just don't think that is favorable to be elected president, not with a connection to Goldman Sachs. So I'd have to apologize. I do not support Ted Cruz at all. But anyway, the country needs supporting. We've got to reach down, and we've got to start trying to get out of these predisposed emotional states of being on the left or this emotional state of being on the right and hating the others. We've got to start waking up and coming out of this deluded delusion. We've got to start trying to put the country back together. And I believe Rand Paul is one of the few people that I see in Congress that's trying to do the right thing. But it's hard to do because you're going against all these other, very powerfully supported interest groups and so forth. But I supported Ron Paul, and I do support Rand Paul. He's the only person besides Ted Cruz and a few others that are actually saying the right thing. Ted, I can't support because of his wife's connection to Goldman Sachs. I think that that's just too strong a connection to ignore. But anyway, we've got to try to do something differently. We've got to try to come out of this economic doldrums. The $18 trillion worth of debt is out there. The two largest creditors to the United States that hold government securities would be, number one, China. Everybody knows that. And then the second largest holder of U.S. securities, and this is not that well known, is Japan. Now, when we look at Japan and we see what's happening in Fukushima, tomorrow, when I go up there and do that live broadcast and do that live web streaming, I'm going to have on my Fukushima t-shirt. And it says on there, a world solution needed. And that's what we should have done 4 years ago. This is over 4 years old, the Fukushima, 3 meltdowns of the reactors. This is ruining the North Pacific. And it's reported now that there's a black fungus that's on the fish, on some of the fish in the North Pacific. We did Farrell Montgomery and I did two Fukushima conferences with a lot of help from Randall Mock and others, and last year. And this Fukushima is a dreadful thing. It's poisoning the North Pacific today. Our senators and representatives and our president and everyone's ignoring it. We've got to get back on this particular topic and try to do the right thing. But anyway, I just want to remind you, listen to this second hour and its continuation of Bill Hendon, An Enormous Crime, the author of Enormous Crime, and then Ted Sampley joins us. But thank you for listening, and it's coming up in just a second, and you'll hear the 40 minutes of the content of our program. Thank you for listening.
Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm your host, George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield Brown is still on vacation. We've got a fine guest coming up in just a few minutes here. His name is Bill Hendon. But first, let me do a little housekeeping here. If you go into thesecrettruth.com, you'll find a click off there right in the center. It says, help send Charlotte and George to cover the Ron Paul Revolution at the GOP National Convention. Go ahead and check that out. And if you'd like to help us and contribute in any way and any amount possible, go in there and click in on that and help us get to Minnesota. We're not only going to go to the Ron Paul counter-revolution there, but we're credential reporters to go to the GOP too. So we're gonna saddle and stride both of those different conventions. My guest tonight has done an enormous job and a very dedicated on a very dedicated mission for this country. He wrote, along with Elizabeth Stewart, a book entitled An Enormous Crime, and it exposes a scandalous betrayal by successive governments, including the last seven, I believe, is what it computes out at, and of not bringing our POWs home and really turning our back on those people. Welcome to our program, Bill Hendon.
Thank you, George. I'm honored to be with you, sir.
Boy, you're honored. I'm more honored than you are to have you with me. You're a fine gentleman and a fine citizen of this country.
Well, thank you for your great work up there.
And anyway, your book is a marvelous work, and it's highly documented and so forth. Tell us a little bit about your background, Bill.
Well, I went to Congress with Ronald Reagan in 1980. If you remember, in 1979, we had a hostage crisis in the Middle East and in Iran. And the gas prices went through the ceiling. Jimmy Carter turned our country into just a laughing stock around the world. And here came Ronald Reagan and a whole bunch of guys, I'm proud to say, like him. And we took over the U.S. Senate. We got Reagan elected. We got 52 new House seats. I was one of them. And it was a glorious time. We just we won the Cold War. We cut taxes. We got the economy back together. He was a great man, and it was a great time, George.
So there was a new beginning there, right? But what did you say, unfortunately, what?
Unfortunately, we found out right after we got to town that a whole bunch of our, I mean like hundreds, Henry Kissinger had left hundreds of American pilots and soldiers in prison when he came up with that great Peace with Honor deal in 1973 to end the war in Vietnam. And all these boat people and radio intercepts and satellite images were coming out of Indochina where our men were begging to be rescued. And thank God Ronald Reagan was there. And we almost rescued some guys early on. And then it got very bureaucratic, and a lot of people were telling Reagan, oh, my God, you came to town, Mr. President, on the hostage crisis in Iran. And here this thing is getting to be another hostage crisis, and just leave those men. And, of course, Reagan wouldn't have any part of that. We were all up on Capitol Hill saying, let Reagan be Reagan. You remember that, George?
Yes. on July the 9th, didn't Caspar Weinberger talk to the POW-MIA family members that were gathered there and said, we're going to bring those men home, those POWs home?
Sure.
Didn't they promise that?
In 1982, it's in the book. He said, sure, they're there. Everybody knows they're there. And everybody knows they're still there. But it's been a – nobody wants another hostage crisis, George, okay? And it's just poison in this town. And a bunch of the people who weren't Reaganites talked the president into doing some other things, and it just didn't work. And but the men still put their names down in the prison yards, and the satellites pick them up. That's what this book's about. Imagine in 1992, on the 5th of June, them reading the satellite image of a guy's name, a missing pilot's name in a prison yard, and a secret code that could only be another man who's missing, a missing pilot. And, oh, man, and they just say, well, there's nothing in any of this, and they just walk off and leave them. But the men are still alive. We're sure of that. They want to come home, and we just pray for them all the time, and we work as hard as we can to get them out.
Yes, you along with other men, I talked to Captain Red McDaniel before.
What a great American he is. I used to work with him, and he and I, we worked together for a long time back in the 80s, and he was one of the most tortured and one of the most heroic of the prisoners that came home. Most of the guys that came home, including John McCain, unfortunately, don't believe there's anybody there. And, in fact, McCain has worked very hard to stop what McDaniel and I and others have done to try to get him out. But
well, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, why does he do that?
You'd have to ask him, but there's no question when he reads when he reads a man's name in a prison yard and says, "Oops, I don't see it anymore. Where? I can't read his name in the satellite image." I mean, come on. On the cover,
didn't they actually disappear some things falsify some satellite images?
Oh, sure. They falsified them. They photoshopped them. If you look on the cover of the book, I'm not here to sell books, and you aren't either. But
oh, give us your site, by the way. Tell us the site that we can come in.
I tell you, a great place to go is Amazon.com, and just look up An Enormous Crime or Bill Hendon and Elizabeth Stewart, and it'll take you over. I was looking today. The book's doing good. It's like number 21 in sales in Vietnam War category. But if you look on the cover of it, you can just go on your computer and look. You don't have to buy it. Go to the library and read it for free. But, I mean, there's a satellite image on the cover of the book, and it's got this huge USA in a rice paddy in Laos. And the USA, the letters are 12 feet tall and stretch 37 feet across the rice paddy. And right underneath it, again, you can see it on Amazon.com right now or on enormouscrime.com, which is our website. Right under the USA is this huge escape and evasion symbol. It's like 27 feet tall and like, I think, 24 feet across that only American pilots could have put down in this rice paddy. And John McCain says that the explanation for this is that some little kid copied it off of an envelope that he got from a friend in the United States. Now, why would a kid go out in a rice paddy in 1988 and dig out 37 feet reading USA and build an escape and evasion code that is secret? It is known only to American pilots. The satellite picked it up. I mean, these people will do anything to deny the existence of these men. Why they do it, I don't know. I think it's because, George, they don't want another hostage crisis.
Yeah, but those men are still there and suffering at the hands
of their,
of these guards, and there have been reports where they were beaten in front of the public and everything else. Still,
well, I tell you what they're doing. They're keeping them alive. They feed them Western food. They keep them in underground prisons, in these very sophisticated underground prisons in Vietnam, not so sophisticated in Laos. But they're keeping them alive. Because they believe they have value.
Okay, we got to cut away real quick, Bill, but we'll be right back. We'll continue right there. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. My guest this evening is Bill Hendon. Welcome back, Bill.
Thanks, George. Great to be with you from the murder capital of America, Washington, D.C.
Okay. Boy, that is. And they really had used to have a strong gun law, right?
Well, they still do, because the bureaucrats downtown are not going to let anybody really change things.
I know registration, or they put a lot of provisos in there on you can have one, but it requires this, and this, right?
Well, you can't have a semi-automatic. You have to have a revolver and all this stuff.
You.
And the criminals are just running the streets. I mean, some poor guy I heard on the news just a few minutes ago, his car broke down over, and he got out, and they just killed him right in the street. He was just asking for some mechanical help. Maybe it was a flat tire or something. It's just disgraceful.
It is. Let me describe this book a little bit more for just a second, then we'll move on to some of the POWs.
Right.
This book, An Enormous Crime, is nothing less than shocking. Based on thousands of pages of public and previously classified documents, it makes an utterly convincing case that when the American government withdrew its forces from Vietnam, it knowingly abandoned hundreds of POWs to their fate. The product of 25 years of research by former Congressman Bill Hendon, that's you, and attorney Elizabeth A. Stewart, Enormous Crime brilliantly exposes the reasons why these American soldiers and airmen were held back by the North Vietnamese at Operation Homecoming in 1973 and what these men have endured since.
Yeah. It's rough. It's rough, man. I mean, Henry Kissinger walked off and left them. And he's up in New York right now eating steak and baked potato and a nice, dinner with wine.
Well, you know how I got on to this? I came late to this. And you were working on it decades before I even woke up on this. And I'm not a Vietnam veteran, but I served in the Army in Germany during that period, 63, 64.
I'm not a Vietnam veteran. You don't have to be a Vietnam veteran to see a guy's name in a rice paddy and feel sympathy for him and demand that the government go get him home.
Exactly. Well, this is an issue for all of us, that's for sure.
Sure.
I'm just sort of explaining a little bit of my own background.
I appreciate it, George.
Yeah, in 1992, I was invited out to a camp, a local Army camp here, and Captain Red McDaniel spoke.
Great guy.
And we signed H. Ross Perot's birthday card, and Captain Red McDaniel said, "I'm very optimistic," and this was like in August of 92. He said, "Next month they're going to hold a hearing." I guess that's the hearing y'all were at, right?
Well.
In 92, hearings?
I was an intelligence investigator assigned to that committee, and John Kerry fired me because we were getting too close to the story here, and a bunch of us, Red McDaniel, Red wasn't on the committee, but he was very supportive in the background. Perot wasn't on the committee, but he was on, of course, he's not in the Senate, but I, as a former congressman, and I had been over there like 30 times and knew the terrain. I had studied the secret intelligence in Congress and as a Pentagon consultant. And Bob Smith, who was a great patriot, he was a senator from New Hampshire. He was the vice chairman of the committee that Red was talking about in 1992. And Smith hired me and put me on as an intelligence investigator. And what this book is about is all the intelligence that John Kerry and John McCain saw as members of that committee and completely rejected, just mocked it, laughed at it, said there was nothing to any of it. And if you read it, George, and you have read some of it.
Yes, I have.
It will tear your heart out if you're an American like Americans that you and I know. But these boys here in Washington, this is a whole different world.
Well,
I mean,
just like you were saying just a few minutes ago, here is the murder capital of the world. You got politicos. They don't care about the soldiers or the military.
Couldn't care less.
It's just a crazy atmosphere up there.
I'll tell you something scary. You want to hear something really scary?
What's that?
It's what if, and God forbid that this ever happened to one of our brave soldiers in Iraq, but if they grab some of our guys and we start to withdraw, and these guys go out and somehow slip out of their prison and put their names down in the sand, and escape and evasion codes that are screaming to the satellites, I'm alive, come get me. John McCain, if he's president, will Photoshop it right out of the sand. He Photoshopped it out of the rice paddies of Vietnam and left his fellow POWs. He'll do it again. And that's the scary thing.
Yes, it is. In 92, I heard Captain Red McDaniels here at Camp Mabry, a local National Guard camp.
Right.
And he told us he was really optimistic. Well, I waited that next month and watched that committee and what they said, and they whitewashed it and covered it up, and then Kissinger was there just lying.
Yeah, they lie like bugs. They lie like dogs. They don't have any of the compass that keeps the American people. The moral compass, whatever. It's incredible. But McCain and Kerry ran that thing, and they whitewashed it, and we tell it in the book, and they don't say nothing about the book, boy. They don't want to talk about this book because it's serious, deadly serious stuff. When Henry Kissinger walks away and leaves 600-700 men in prison and knows it and keeps it covered up until 1992, when we finally got a chance to get to the bottom of it, and along comes John Kerry and John McCain. And who is John McCain's biggest foreign policy advisor right now? Henry Kissinger.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, oh my goodness.
Well, was there another Assistant Secretary of State, Richard Armitage? Was he there at that hearing also?
Armitage was part of it.
Was there a third member, too, a third person, I think, that testified that day that I heard them, and I forget his name.
Yeah, Paul Wolfowitz was part of it.
Okay.
Colin Powell was part of it. They all covered it up because they didn't want a hostage crisis, okay?
I don't think that's a good enough reason.
Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I don't think that's a good enough reason.
Well, but you see, when you come into Washington, all of a sudden the things that are important on Main Street in Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Carolina, where I'm from, California, Utah, Texas, the things that are important on Main Street America, suddenly, you start looking at things differently. I didn't. Ronald Reagan didn't. Red McDaniel didn't. Ross Perot wouldn't have, and Ron Paul hasn't, okay?
Well, that's who we support around here.
Yeah, these guys start looking at the greater good, they call it, okay, and what's best for the country. Well, what's best for the country is to get these brave men who have endured 30-plus years of captivity in Indochina home and get them down there to that Vietnam Veterans Memorial and let them run their finger along their name. Now, you talk about a welcome home party and something good for America, George.
Yeah, okay, we've got to cut out a second. You know, you're exactly right. We'll be right back. I've got a little story to tell you about the Vietnam Veteran Memorial. Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, your host. Charlotte Littlefield Brown is still on vacation. Welcome back, Bill Hendon.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be with you, George.
So, Charlotte Littlefield Brown, in November, we went up there on Veterans Day. It was on a Sunday, brilliant, bright, shining in Washington, D.C., right in front of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and did a two-hour program. We interviewed people sitting there. They were widows. They were Vietnam vets. And we really had a very spiritual experience. There were squads of people dressed up in their colors marching up and down those trails.
Sure.
So the quick point I wanted to make was that we have a lot of good American people that care about this country and so forth. But that Washington D.C. bunch, like you said just a few minutes ago, is totally out of touch. Would you not agree?
They're rotten to the core. And I'll tell you something. I don't mean to be crude at all, but what this town needs is a great big enema, okay?
Okay.
And they may get it this fall, with this guy, Barack Obama. Now, I'm not for Obama. I'm a Republican. But people are so sick of Colin Powell going before the United Nations and lying like a dog, lying on the front porch, showing them these pictures of these fake things and sending this to war. I don't know. My goodness gracious, Paul Wolfowitz, Armitage, all those boys, it's the same crowd that left these prisoners, Henry Kissinger, all of them, and they're still around, and it's just disgraceful what's going on here. And if it takes Obama to clean this crowd out as a Republican, but first as an American, I say, let's do it. I mean that. This is a shameful situation.
What I see in Obama, see, if you look at his Michelle, his wife, and so forth, they're tied back to the CFR machine out of New York. See, she's
But
it looks like to me that he's putting out the carrots out there for the liberal Democrats and the collectivists, right? But on the main international New World Order stuff, he's right in line with them.
It scares you to death. At least if you're from the Great Smokies.
You're saying is there'll be a change, but I don't know on the big things if there's going to be much change. See.
Well, I wish we had Ron Paul, but we don't. Okay.
Yeah,
but,
we really worked hard for him, and we're still supporting him. You know.
Well, people are so disgusted, and this is when you get a big change. The last one we had was they were so disgusted at Carter that they elected Ronald Reagan, me, and a whole bunch of people, and we did good. I hope whoever gets elected this time will do good. But you were talking about being at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How about trying on this? Reading from U.S. intelligence reports, okay? Dominic Spinelli. David Armstrong, these are all names on the wall, Billy Milner, Jackson, Captain Patrick, Howard Schmidt, Todd Melton, Jim Fuller, Joe Birch, Eddie Mercer, Tommy Hart, Morgan Donahue, Howard Stevenson. I could keep reading. These men's names are on that wall, George, where you were, and it says they're missing or they're dead. But the intelligence reports, and we talk about these men, these brave men in this book, the intelligence says they're still alive. A guy named Pete Mathis puts down his code on 5 June 1992. His name is on the wall. His code is in a prison yard in North Vietnam in 1992. A guy named Mick Sarex was on BAT 20. Danny Glover.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, anyway, it was Bat 52 or whatever it was. It was an airplane movie about the Vietnam War, these guys that got shot down. But anyway, this guy's name, Sarex, is in the field outside the prison in June 92. Well, you look at that satellite image, and then you look at his name on the wall, and the American people, if they knew that this man had to be alive in 1992, they would rise up, but the government doesn't want to tell them. McCain doesn't want to tell them. Kerry doesn't want to tell them. And this book, we talk about it. And it's really something to go to that wall, as you did, having read the intelligence and see these men's names that are showing up in the intelligence as alive. And I want to get them back and let them go down there and maybe put gold in the letters of their name, or run their hand by them, or something.
That would be a fine tribute to do something special.
Tell
for those
me
men.
About it. You
yes, I can understand and
that'd
agree
be
to
good
that.
For America. It
yes,
be good
it would
for
be.
It wouldn't be good for these people in Washington who have left them.
We need to heal this and to resolve this. You know what I mean? We need to get those men home. And John Holland has stood up several times at Ron Paul rallies, and he's expressed those sentiments. He said, we need to bring these people home now, you know?
Top Holland's a great patriot. He served, I think, in three wars.
Yes, World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam.
He's done more for this country than most people ever dream of, and what a great America. Yeah.
But now what you portray in the book is that after this Caprat Weinberger, pronouncement, and then they reversed their policies, and what did DIA made a concerted, intentional effort to discredit intelligence coming out of there?
Hey, let me tell you something. Go to www.enormouscrime.com and click on Chapter 23, and there's 15 intelligence reports in there. And look and read for your listeners who are interested.
Yes, sir.
At what the DIA does to these stories. In other words, somebody comes out, a refugee or somebody, and reports, I saw X number of American prisoners at a certain point at a certain time. All right. And look at what DIA says happened. They say that they saw 12-year-old Amerasian buffalo boys, these kids that ride around on the buffaloes in the field. They said that they saw Russian tourists, big old fat Russian women. I mean, they have made it is crimp. Well, I tell you what it is, George. It's an enormous crime what this government has done to this intelligence. And they learned that they could get away with it. And that's why Powell and Armitage and Wolfowitz and all the rest of them got away with sending our boys and women, brave as they are, to Iraq for no earthly reason. A totally trumped up, unnecessary war. They should have gone to Afghanistan and killed every one of those people that were behind the 9/11 attack. But they came. They decided they wanted to go to war. So what did they do? They concocted this intelligence, massaged it, did whatever you want to call it. And the only way they got away with it was the mainstream press was behind them. But the mainstream press was behind them when they covered up the intelligence out of Indochina. Same people, same press, same result. In this case, hundreds. Several hundred, no question, American prisoners still alive right now in Indochina prison. And what a tragedy. But they got away with it, and they got real proud, bold, and aggressive and said, okay, here's what we'll do. We got away with that. We'll get away with this Iraq deal. And they did.
Well, I tell you, I had Vincent Bugliosi. He testified up there recently in Congress, and he said it like it was. I mean, he nailed it, you know, on that. But we've got to take another break here, and we'll come back for our final segment this hour. Then during the second hour, you want to open up the phones and take some calls on this?
Sure, if you got
okay.
time.
Yeah, we've got another hour and about 10 minutes here.
Thomas Jefferson once said, when the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty. Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Welcome back to The Secret Truth. I'm your host, George Butler. Welcome back, Bill Hendon.
Thank you, George.
Okay, we've got a call-in line, 1-800-259-9231. Again, our lines are open, 1-800-259-9231. 9231. Give us a call if you have a question for Bill Hinden or some kind of a statement. So what we have here is it is enormous crime. Is it going to, in 92, there was an opportunity, in your opinion, to right this wrong or at least begin a process, and what happened then?
John McCain and John Kerry said it was all false. There was nothing to it. The men putting their names down in the prison yards and in the rice paddies and in the fields and signaling, begging the satellites to tell people, come get us, we're still alive. They said that was all false. They said it. I'm sorry. It was shadows on the ground. It was some little boy putting it down off an envelope. Again, look at the cover of our book, Enormous Crime, An Enormous Crime. Just look at the cover. And that's the satellite image. It's USA with this huge, it's called a walking K. It is an escape and evasion code known only to the pilots that it was given to before they left their base. The United States government sent them into combat and told them, if you're shot down, put down this walking K and we'll come get you. Now, they put it down, and this huge USA right above it in this rice paddy, and John McCain says in his memoir, Worth the Fighting For, that it was copied off of an envelope that a young boy in Laos got from some guy in America. I mean, that is how absurd this whole thing is. And radio intercepts, George. How in the world, if you intercept a radio transmission by the enemy where he says, I am moving X number of American prisoners from the airport at such and such a place to another place, and the plane will land at the airport at 12:30 on the 28th of December, 1980, to pick them up. And we monitor an airplane flying into this airport, very remote airport, and then leaving. All right? How can you say that there weren't Americans on that plane? The intercepted radio transmission of the communists said, we're sending the plane to pick up the American prisoners, have them at the airport at 12:30 on the 28th. Now, McCain says there's nothing to any of that. And there were radio transmissions all over Laos, which is the little country west of Vietnam, talking about moving maybe 75, 100 Americans, at least just the radio intercepts. And all these people coming out of there saying, we saw them, the satellites picking up these guys, begging for deliverance, begging to be rescued, and nothing. It's all in the book. I'm not trying to sell the book, George. You know that. But it's all in there, and it's all on our website.
It's an excellent book, Bill. It's,
sir?
It's an excellent book.
Well, you're nice to say so.
And I encourage everyone listening out there to go down and buy this book.
Well, I go to the library at least and read it. And, oh, man, what these men have endured. And, look, 1992 was a long time ago. But the reports are still coming into the Pentagon today of these men being alive. And the Pentagon is doing absolutely nothing about it.
Well, you know what's important about this book is it not only exposes, you know, the problem of the POW still there, but it educates people and makes them more street smart about the real politics in Washington, D.C.
It's a disgrace. It is a national calamity.
It is a disgrace for them to abandon and ignore these men for everything that they did and sacrificed over there.
They take the easy way out every time.
Okay, we got Clarence from Oklahoma City. What is your question for Bill Hinden? You're live on The Secret Truth.
Yes, I just discovered your show tonight, and I've been listening, and it's been a great program.
Thank you.
Because this is something that needs to be known by the American people. And the mainstream media is not going to make a peep about this and haven't, since it happened.
They're not going to touch it, Clarence. They're not going to touch it. Thank you for calling in. You got any ideas?
I wish I did. I served during Vietnam. I was in the Air Force during Vietnam, but I was in Germany.
right?
I was right there at the tail end of the war.
Well, you could have been any one of these names that I just read off a few minutes ago that we read in the intelligence reports. These guys really, really, they got abandoned. They got abandoned by America's leaders it's a terrible story. But
it's something that, you know, if I don't know how you could get it out to the American people. I mean, you could make a movie, you could make a DVD, but you know, the American people, they're asleep right now.
You know what I think, Clarence? I think there's so many guys over there who are in prison. I think over in Laos, which is more of a jungle situation than Vietnam. Mm-hmm. In Vietnam, they got them in these very sophisticated underground prisons, and it's really scary when you read about. I mean, they've even got slats in the ceiling or in the top of the caves where they open the slats and let the guys have their sun bath so they won't get sick.
Yeah.
I mean, but over in Laos, it's more like jungle and caves and stuff like that. Somebody's going to get out of there. There's too many of them in there, and somebody's going to come up across that Mekong River, maybe weighing 100 pounds, maybe 90, maybe 80, no teeth, and he's going to say, hey, where you been, boys? I'm back. And at that point in time, John McCain and John Kerry and Colin Powell, they head for the tall grass.
That's it.
Okay.
Be heading for the border.
Right. Clarence, thank you for your call from Oklahoma. Rick from Colorado, what is your question for Bill Hendon?
Hey, hello. Am I on?
Yes. Rick, you're live on The Secret
Truth. You know,
Creed.
I think about these feds and D.C. and all this, and, I mean, are they even in America? I mean, that's District of Columbia. What's up with that?
Rick, it's hard to believe, but I was trying to explain it earlier. Main Street values, the things that hold this country, churches, community, family, schools, community schools, you know, local schools, all these things that hold us together. When they come up here, they get inside the beltway, you know, the big highway that goes around Washington, and it just goes all to pieces. And they start looking at the greater good, if you will.
The greater good of their pocketbook.
yeah, I guess. But it things change here. Ronald Reagan didn't change. I didn't change. But most of them do. And it's the saddest thing. And like I said, and I'm not trying to be crude, but this town needs a real big enema. And it's just a shame, as far as I'm concerned, that it won't get it from John McCain. And may end up because he wouldn't do it. He's part of the problem. But it the other guy, he might. I don't know. I pray for my country. I'm worried about our country. It's gotten so bad here that the American people are demanding a change, and we may get a terrible change, but we're going to get one.
Yeah, Rick. What would your suggestions be? Where do you think we should go from here?
My question is. Does D.C. even have jurisdiction over United America, I should say?
Well, the Congress does, and the President does. The government of the District of Columbia is just bonkers. It's just off the wall. But not much more off the wall than the U.S. Senate, the U.S. Congress, and the executive branch. I mean, look, I'm a Republican, okay? I came up here with Reagan, proud to be here. But look what Bush has done to our country. Let's just be honest. Look what has happened to our once proud military and our country over the last 4 or 5 years or 6 years, whatever it's been.
Yeah, Rick, I think you're coming more from a states' rights type of viewpoint. Is that what you're insinuating?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, is that they don't even have jurisdiction over us.
I know. These are some of the issues that are causing this problem that George W. and all this latest administration is causing a lot of debate, and it's good for America.
I hope the outcome's good for America, but I really fear. I pray for this country.
Well, we're debating it right now, trying to make a difference. So we've got to leave here for the top of the hour break, which is about a six-minute break. But thank you very much, Rick, from Colorado, for your questions and your input.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Call us back again. Wait, we got to leave right now. We'll be right back.